You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I am your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen from the real tribes of Israel, not the fabled tribes of Israel of the Jews who pretend they're the tribe of Judah when they are actually Edomites and Canaanites and hybrids. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a lot of things to speak to you about. I wanted to say one thing about this COVID-19 to the riots thing. Something else I realized is the COVID-19 thing wasn't working very well, and they needed a way to bail out of it. They got in too deep with it. The public is too awake now. They can't pull things over like they did back in 9/11. And things have changed dramatically thanks to the Father. People are waking up, and they're not able to pull the wool over the sheep's eyes as much as, of course, you know, there's plenty of people who don't know that George Soros is a Jew, or, you know, these different mayors that have Jews named Jacob Frey, the guy's name is, and they think he's a white man. And I told somebody, that's not a white man, that's a Jew. And they got very upset. And it turns out that I believe it was a Jew. See, the Jews go on Gab and different social outlets, and they'll have a picture of a black man or a woman, and they'll say things like, they said, maybe this poor fellow Jacob Frey will be hurt soon by Black Lives Matter. You know, that's when I told him it was a Jew. So once I told them that, they went wild. I mean, wild. You can always tell it's a Jew because they lose their minds and they start all this jargon with, you know, expletives and everything else in it. So you can always tell it's them. Many times I'll see a black, supposed black fellow on the, you know, with a black picture, and they'll be saying how whitey this and whitey that. And then I'll just write, this is not a black man. It's a Jew behind a computer that is pretending to be a black man or whatever. And I always out them, and they, you know, they just don't like it. Some of them don't say anything. And that shows that it's that way as well. So they needed a way to bail out of this COVID-19 thing. Because it just wasn't, yeah, they caused lockdowns and caused all sorts of problems. It's not that it didn't work at all. It's that it didn't ultimately work the way they planned. And neither will these riots. More and more guns. There were almost, I was in Walmart, there was almost hardly bullets on the shelf at all. There were no guns, all gone. By the way, Walmart, the last time I was there, they told me that they don't sell handgun ammunition anymore. Ammunition. Now, a sister writes me something, and it goes along with something I was going to tell you, so I'll tell you what she wrote first. She said Einstein, which we should know already, Ein is the word for one, and Stein is the word for stone. So she said it means one stone. But I didn't know this. She said Albert equals luminous. Light, you know, like their father, the light bringer, Lucifer. Well, here's what I was going to tell you, that I didn't know the rifleman's name back when I was telling you these things. By the way, I said on yesterday's show that the way I downloaded these files for season one, when I clicked the first video, I didn't pay attention to what number it was. It was out of sequence. So when I was telling you episode one, in season one, it's really episode 20 of season one. Sorry, I had to correct that, but now I have to fix that folder so that they're in the proper order. So not my fault, but again, I should be paying attention to detail, right? Well, what blew my mind was when I did watch the first episode, we found out the fellow's name, the rifleman's name. Do you know what his name is? Lucas. Which means light, again, that's just like luminous, right? or Lucius, right? And his last name is McCain, son of Cain. And his son's name is Mark, son of Cain. Like the mark of the beast. Do you see what's been going on, ladies and gentlemen, for a long time? It's something to think about. And it's something to understand how we've been tricked over and over and over again. Lucas McCain, light bearer or light, the son of Cain. Because that's what Mick means, Mick Cain. Now, I do think that's interesting. And of course, in this series so far that I've watched, the themes of anti-racism and all this stuff, it's all there. It's all there. But I'll tell you one thing that is there that's important, is that when Lucas was in town, when he first got there in the first episode, you really should watch the first, I think it was the first episode, that there were these evil people, of course, white men, but their names were Jew names. They were running the town and nobody could do anything. Lucas entered a turkey shoot or whatever, a shooting competition. And what was the solution to freeing the town from the grip of the enemy? Was it to speak and try to negotiate with evil? No, that wasn't the solution. Was it to pretend it would go away and just hide your head? No, no, that's not the, that wasn't the solution. The solution was Lucas had to go in, and when they all started shooting at him, he killed them all. That's the solution. Now, I know you want to say, well, you shouldn't advocate violence, but you see, the enemy advocates violence. Antifa and the Jews, the Antifa is a Jewish-run organization, always has been before we were born, ladies and gentlemen. And they advocate violence. That's the way you get things done, is through violence. If that's not true, then why do the Jews want to purport wars on our people? That's the way you get things done, through violence. You don't get things done by negotiating, necessarily. You can get some things done. But when you want something done, it takes violence. No Jew or no evil is going to give up their position willingly and compromise and make an agreement and stick to it. No Jew sticks to any agreements. That's what the Kol Nidre is all about. So you can't negotiate with evil. You have to make that clear in your mind. When I say about that violence is the solution, it is the solution, but I'm not trying to tell you to go do anything violent. I'm trying to tell you that violence is the solution. If that wasn't true, then why do the founding fathers say the tree of liberty has to be watered with blood every so often? Because violence is the solution. You're not going to get anything done by trying to negotiate with evil. It's just not going to happen. And if you do negotiate with evil, we've seen what takes place. They might sign a contract with you, but they'll break it. Now, America's becoming more and more evil like that too, signing contracts and treaties with people, and then they break it. You see? Because they're not of their word. And this isn't the American people. When I speak of what's going on, this is where we're occupied. Just like Germany's occupied, just like England's occupied, etc., etc. By the beast power. So if you haven't heard my fireside chat and the show previous, the News Bites report on America is going through a communist revolution, I suggest you go listen to those things. When you're seeing these knees being bowed all across the world, Trudeau just did it. Police are doing it. All of the peoples of the world are doing it. Now, I don't mean all of the people of the world are doing it. I mean, it's being done all over the world. This is literally bowing in solidarity to Baal. You're watching it live. You'll see our people. You'll see the military. You'll see the cops. You'll see the politicians. You'll see the niggers. You'll see all kinds of people bowing their knee to Baal, to be in solidarity with the beast system, with humanity against the Israelite nations, the white, Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Nordic, and German Germanic peoples. The world is uniting against us. So there it is, Revelation 12:15, coming to a climax where these people have been given a chance by the Heavenly Father to either bless us or curse us. They've decided to curse us. But you see, they've always cursed us back. We've blessed them over and over and over again. You can see that they curse us back. No matter how much you give to the Jew or the black or any of the beasts of the field, they curse us in return for our good done to them. Now, sooner or later, the Bible verse is going to hit where it says that they that bless Israel shall be blessed and they that curse Israel shall be cursed. Speaking of us, not Jews. Sooner or later, we're going to see the evidence that that verse is true. So far, we haven't. Because the test is the test. And the people are now showing that they are either goats or sheep. And unfortunately, too many of them are showing that they are goats. So like I said in the fireside chat, the Father doesn't even have to separate all of the goats from the sheep. They're doing it themselves. Now, he will have to separate some. But I'm just saying that many of them are showing right now willingly that they are goats and that they are united with the devil and his offspring, the Jews, and united with the beast system. And perhaps this is part of the mark of the beast. Even though I say that the mark of the beast is on the Israeli flag that has 666 encoded in it. And there's Jew worship all over the world. So yes, the mark of the beast speaks, of course, because if you don't believe in and love Israel first, you will not be a politician in any of our countries. So well, that speaks, doesn't it? And causes people to worship it, doesn't it? It certainly does. And it has 666 encoded in it, doesn't it? And it is one of the most evil signs in all of time. No, it's not anything to do with the Star of David at all. Somebody tried to say, oh, no, this is the Megan David and all these. No, this is not the Star of David at all. This is the hexagram of Solomon, his son. 666 encoded right into it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see now the pattern of the beasts of the field that we feed a continent, our people feed a continent over there in Africa. And in return, they boil us with water and stab us and shoot us and rape us and steal our things and all sorts of things. You understand? There's no thanks. There's no goodwill, so to speak, to use the UN's term or the term that was brought out by Alice Bailey and all them over there at the Lucius Trust. Lucius, Lucifer Publishing. So that's something to think about. So Lucas McCain, how quaint. Huh? Are you digging it? But even now, if you thought you dug that, now I'm going to read you something else. Wait till you get a load of this. Let's see if I can get it up here. Yep, there it is. There's a fellow named Shane McMinn, M-C-M-I-N-N. And this is a chapter from his book. And it's called The Asylum. And it sure seems like this book might be worth getting. This is from a portion of the book. I don't know exactly the page, but it's called The Ninth Circle. I told you about this, right? So now we'll hear from somebody that has written about it. In June 2014, HumansAreFree.com reported that eyewitnesses had testified to seeing children being killed by being hunted down by human hunting parties. Testimony was given before the International Common Law Court of Justice in Brussels. Five international judges examined evidence of child rape, torture, murder, and kidnapping, allegedly done by global elite members of the Ninth Circle Satanic Child Sacrifice Cult Network. Regular Ninth Circle child sacrifices were said to take place in the catacombs of Catholic cathedrals, the Vatican, on private estates and groves, there's your groves again, and on government military bases in Belgium, Holland, Spain, Australia, Ireland, France, England, and, of course, the United States. 34 child mass grave sites were identified in Ireland, Spain, and Canada, and were refused excavation by their respective governments, Crown of England, and the Catholic Church. Are you listening? The Ninth Circle Satanic Child Sacrifice Cult has been said to operate at Roman Catholic cathedrals in Montreal, of course, New York, of course, Rome and London, according to court evidence filed. Witnesses claim that child sacrifices also took place at Caernarfon Castle in Wales and an undisclosed French chateau. The cult was believed to use privately owned forestry groves in the U.S., Canada, France, and Holland. Named as present in the Ninth Circle activities were Pope Francis, former Pope Ratzinger, Anglican, United Church of Canada, and Catholic Church officials, including cardinals, members of European royalty, including Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, officials of the Canadian, Australian, UK, and US military and governments, including the USA's CIA, plus prominent government ministers, judges, politicians, and businessmen from the US, Belgium, Holland, Canada, Australia, France, Ireland, and the UK. This is all being done in the name of Baal. You should understand that. Now, let me ask you a question. When I tell you that the number 9 is the devil's number, do you wonder why it's called the Rite of the Ninth Circle or the Cult of the Ninth Circle? Hello? Teens were drugged, stripped naked, raped, and hunted down in the woods and killed by European royals, according to the eyewitness testimony before the International Common Law Court of Justice in Brussels. Brussels Common Law Court of Justice, the five judges and jury members from six countries considered evidence of over 50,000 missing Canadian, U.S., Argentine, and European children who were suspected victims of an international child sacrificial cult known as the Ninth Circle. Two adolescent women claim that Pope Francis raped them while participating in child sacrifices. Eight witnesses confirmed the allegations according to evidence presented. The child sacrifice rituals were said to have taken place in the spring of 2009, that's 11, 2 and 9 is 11, and 2010 in rural Holland and Belgium. According to records obtained from Vatican archives, Pope Francis was also a perpetrator in satanic child sacrifice rites while acting as an Argentine priest and bishop. A prominent Vatican official and former Vatican Curia employee obtained the sealed documents for use by the court. According to an ABC news story, it was not the first time that the satanic activities were suspected to be happening at the Vatican. Another witness was set to testify, and they were present during the Pope Francis's meetings with the military junta, or junta, during Argentina's 1970 Dirty War. The witness said that the Pope helped traffic children of missing political prisoners into an international child exploitation ring run by an office at the Vatican. In the document named the Magisterial Privilege, which is a Catholic Jesuit order, dated December 25, 1967, it showed that every new pope was required to participate in Ninth Circle satanic ritual sacrifices of newborn children, including drinking their blood, and documents from Vatican secret archives presented to the court clearly indicate that for centuries the Jesuits had premeditated plan to ritually murder, kidnap newborn babies, and then consume their blood. The chief prosecutor told the five international judges and 27 jury members, 2 and 7 is 9. The plan was born of a twisted notion to derive spiritual power from the lifeblood of the innocent, thereby assuring political stability of the papacy in Rome. These acts are not only genocidal, but systematic and institutionalized in nature. Since at least 1773, they appear to have been performed by the Roman Catholic Church, Jesuits, and every pope. Notice again, like from the book, B.F. Jackson, that they don't have the life force in their blood, so they're trying to drink the blood of children, our children, especially our children, to gain spiritual power from the blood. Because we have light in our blood, right? Can you imagine what you're hearing right now? It continues. Two witnesses claim that as children, they witnessed child sacrifices with former Pope Joseph Ratzinger. According to records presented in court, Ratzinger had participated in child sacrifices since 1962 as a member of the Knights of Darkness. And that's Knights, you know, like Knights Templar, Freemasons. He was an SS chaplain's assistant at the German Ravensbrück concentration camp in World War II. Children used that were killed were supplied from prisoners at the death camp. The Nazi Waffen-SS division Knights of Darkness was established by Hitler in 1933. And the group embraced pagan occult beliefs of human sacrifice. Now, I don't really believe that, but do with it as you wish. The chief prosecutor also said that survivors of these rituals described newborn babies as being chopped to pieces on stone altars and their remains consumed by participants. So I had told you that the rite of the Ninth Circle included raping children, included drinking their blood and eating their flesh, didn't I? So, there it is. It says here, the chief prosecutor also said that the survivors of these rituals describe newborn babies being chopped to pieces on stone altars and their remains consumed by participants. During the 1960s, the survivor witnesses were forced to rape and mutilate other children and then cut their throats with ceremonial daggers. He finally stated that conclusive evidence was presented that the Catholic Church is perpetrating ongoing crimes against children. The Catholic Church is the world's largest corporation and appears to be in collusion with governments, police, and courts worldwide. You also see that the Pope, I mean, at any moment he should be bending his knee to Baal, but he has already done that in the sense of claiming that Lucifer is God. So you see, Catholics out there, that you're steeped into something that you should not be worshiping. You should worship the Heavenly Father, for he alone is worth worshiping. No institution, especially the Catholics or any other religion or man or anything like that, they're not worth worshiping. Only the Father in heaven is worth worshiping. So you see, they've all bowed their knee to Baal. In fact, this Pope has said that Baal is God. In other words, Lucifer. Same character. In October 2015, Australian Fiona Barnett bravely went public at a Sydney press conference naming names in regards to a satanic pedophile network that involved both Australian prime ministers and United States presidents. I have no doubt that's true. Let me say this too, that this is just another part of the genocide of the white people. See, all these missing children, 300,000 to 500,000 missing children in America every year, a good portion of those, if not, you know, 90% are probably white. I don't know the exact proportion, so I can't say. But they desire to do this to white people. White. Crowley said a blonde, blue-eyed white child would be perfect for this. Whew, Crowley is a Jew too, right? We found that out. So Fiona is a former victim of satanic ritual abuse, and the abusers were part of the international VIP pedophile ring that also included a child trafficking ring. She revealed that the network, quote unquote, or whatever, it's not really a quote, but the network comprised of famous actors, celebrities, judges, politicians, and other high flyers, and the network has infiltrated the key organizations and institutions in Australia, just like it has in the United States and the UK. Fiona says that she saw it all, including satanic ritual rape, torture, and murder, but says that the way I've been treated for reporting these crimes I've witnessed and experienced has been far worse than my original abuse experiences. She proclaims that Australia is a pedophile haven and that it took a large number of Nazi war criminals, including her own step-grandparents. She was introduced by her family She recalls, for some reason, the end of that sentence is not there. I don't know why. She recalls being at Bohemian Grove in California, where she was put into a pink bubble room and raped. On another occasion, she had to participate in Teddy Bear's Picnic, a child rape hunt party where kids were hunted like animals and raped. In a video, she talks about being present at a satanic ritual with Kim Beasley and Richie Banau of cricketing fame. She tells of Beasley and Banau starting the ritual by worshiping their satanic gods, chanting, listen, Baal, Lucifer, and Satan, son of the morning, and others. She then witnessed them ceremoniously, killing a pregnant mother, a breeder to the Satanists, in the center of a circle. After this, they pulled out the unborn child, chopped it up with a knife and put it on a gold platter and proceeded to do a type of dark communion. After that, several hypnotized kids came forward like robots and were mind controlled. Then Banao came forward with a samurai sword and sliced off the head of each child. Then the crowd of Satanists who were sexually aroused broke out into a bloody orgy before drinking the adrenalized blood of the woman and child, because Satanists are addicted to it to get high from the adrenaline in human blood. That's adrenochrome, right? She mentions that some of the criminals who abused her and raped her were just pedophiles, but says that others worship the dark religion called Satanism, which involves the summoning of dark forces through channeling and twisted rituals, allowing these dark forces to overtake them and use them. Then, filled with satanic energy, these adherents commit all sorts of perverted acts such as rape, necrophilia, torture, murder, sacrifice, and cannibalism. Fiona says that the OTO, that's where Crowley was big in, the OTO, the Freemasons, Scientology, Catholic Church, the CIA, the Australian military, and many others are all branches of the same satanic pedophilia network, and that it lies at the heart of the international child trafficking ring and the Jew World Order. Women are kept in captivity to give birth to babies and fetuses to be sacrificed. These women are called breeders, and they give birth to children that officialdom has no idea exists. These were people who bred babies in our family. No one would know about it. A lot of people were overweight, so you couldn't tell if they were pregnant or not. Or they would supposedly go away for a while and then come back. There would be rituals in which the babies would be sacrificed. When I was very young, I was forced to participate in that, in which I had to sacrifice an infant. So this is crazy. This is a crazy world, folks. So, what are your thoughts about that? You see why the world is at its end. I really do believe that it has never been this evil as it is right now. Oh yes, some of the same things are going on, but I don't think it's to this magnitude. I have no idea what holds the Father back, but he knows what he's doing, so I don't worry about that. I don't question him. I want him to end it, but we just have to trust him and know that he is in charge and he will take care of everything. So, you see, the test is being performed on all peoples. And you can certainly see that the military has bowed its knee to Baal, as well as all these other people. Even people in sports and entertainment and so on and so forth. You see, to be famous in this world, you have to do these things. You have to be a homosexual. You have to do all kinds of things. So if you're famous in this world, you must know that this is the way it is. In other words, don't waste your time thinking about becoming famous. There's nothing there for you. And when I was young, I wanted to be a musician. But I wanted it because of the music. That's why I wanted to do it. Had nothing to do with anything evil or anything like that. I just thought that you could pick whatever you wanted to be and you could accomplish it. And of course, the Father kept me from it, and I thank him that he did. Because if I had sold my soul to the devil, where would I be now? To sing a song to the world? People are selling their souls to sing a song to the world. People are selling their souls to act in a play or have their name up in lights. People are selling their souls to get money that's not even money. To follow the dreams of materialism. See, I wasn't in music for the money. I thought I might make some money and make a living off of it, But I suppose I thought maybe I'd have a little more money. There's always this idea, but I've never cared about the idea of being rich. I just never did. I never cared about money like that. Money's just a tool to me. It's a necessary tool that we use. And if you don't love money, then you don't have anything to worry about, in the sense of the love of money is the root of all evil. A lot of people don't understand that. They say money is the root of all evil. That's not true. The love of money, it says, is the root of all evil. Obviously, you need money to even be in this world at this point, right? I mean, for the most part. Whether you like it or not. So, I'm telling you, man, the world has bowed and is showing themselves. They're showing, like I said in the thing, I'll give you a little quick thing about this, is the Trump card, Mr. T-Rump, has been played. Now, you notice that now that the Trump card has been played, there is no more pretense that the world is a good place out for our good. They have all now shown their cards. Like at the end of a card game, you lay your cards out on the table. You show what you have and who you are and what you represent. These people no longer care to pretend that it's a good world full of good people, full of good intentions. They are showing you blatantly that they seek our harm. It's no longer a pretend game of, well, we're good people. It's a good world. There's just a few bad people out here. No, there's too many bad people. We're at a point where there's way more bad people than there are good. And I mean way more. I think I've explained it, and I praise the Father and give him all glory, because it sure shows me that all we've studied has not been a waste of time here, when we know that the police are full of Freemasons, and now we see them participating in the riots and bowing their knee to Baal and so on and so forth. We understand why that is that way. Now, don't we? Don't we know that the Freemasons have been involved in every revolution in the world, including the American Revolution? Yes, we do. And these police have been encouraged to join the Masonic Lodge, and now they're trapped in it. And now they must participate. They must show their cards. What I think is absolutely interesting is that the Democrats want to defund the police. So, like I said on Rabbit Hole Radio Show, they let the niggers out of prison, these heavy, heavy, heavy-duty criminals in the guise of COVID-19, so that they could go out and participate in raping, killing, stealing, and destroying. And now the Democrats, but also the Republicans, don't think any different. They all want to defund the police departments. See those loyal police that did everything they could, they just needed their paycheck, and so if they were told to kill Whitey and stamp on Whitey's neck, they did it for their paycheck, for their measly, peasly paycheck. And now there's a threat by their masters to take away their paycheck so that they can now become criminalized by the criminals and beaten and killed. And so all the rest of us can too. There'll be nobody to defend us, including the military. You see that the National Guard was told to stand down, correct? They brought them in, but they just stood them down because they wanted to see if they'd obey. And they did, just like I knew they would. You see, your military are not heroes. Your police are not heroes. But without the police, it'll be 10 times worse. It'll be 1,000 times worse. It's like a necessary evil almost. But if we were in white society, there would be virtually no need for police, almost none. But in this mess that has been made against the Father's will, you can see that all this testifies, everything you're seeing today, everything you're seeing, what's been going on for a long time, is a testimony that the Father has always been right, always will be right, and there's no questioning that. Is there? When he put the people on the separate continents and separated them further, he made it deliberately so that we would not commingle. It's the technology of ships and all these other things that have caused this. And the trickery of the Jew and their father, the devil. Again, let me repeat this. That the devil ruled the planet, and then the other races were here at that time, the dark races, the dragon seed races, etc., etc. And Adam was brought here, the Son of God and his race, which we are, to take that control from the devil. Well, the devil persecuted us and his offspring persecuted us and still does to this very moment. And they want to genocide us so they can bring it back to the point where Adam was never here and that God could not intervene. They want to kill Yahweh and they want to kill all of his offspring, which are us, so that the devil can rule a planet of brown people. Because with white people here and the Father alive, he can't have the control he's seeking. I hope this makes sense to you because that's exactly what's going on. I mean, that's like capturing it in a nutshell. This is the biggest picture of all. This is what's going on. The Jews on the social media keep saying things like, we're going to replace you. You see? And they're doing everything they can to replace us. See, they've already said that they're God's chosen people and said they're the tribe of Judah and have replaced all the tribes of Israel. The world thinks, right? They think they're the only tribe left. So they've replaced us there. They've replaced us in our nations as doctors and politicians and all kinds of things. They've replaced us. They're right. They have replaced us to a point. But only to the point the Father will allow, you see. It's the most disgusting thing to see our people participating. And I wouldn't doubt if that's all psyop and all choreographed by the Jewish-controlled mainstream media. To me, those people, if that's true, they should be hung. They're not worth our race. They're not worthy of our race. We'll leave that to the Father, though. What are your thoughts on these things? Can you imagine half the show's almost here? I'm going to be playing you a song from Johnny Rebel in a few seconds, in half a minute here when we go on break. And I think it's a very good song. I could listen to this type of a song 50 times in a row. It's that good of a song. So let's go on break and listen to this song. And I hope that you will stay with me when we come back, when I come back.
There you go again, talking about reparations. There you go again, talking about something else free. There you go again, talking about reparations. Well, listen to me, nigger, you ain't hitting nothing for me. You say all your ancestors were slaves, and that's the reason that you ought to get paid. You want something for nothing, you monkeys are all the same. You're putting all of the blame on whites. We violated your civil rights. But your civil rights movement is nothing but a shakedown game. So there you go again, talking about reparations. There you go again, talking about something else free. There you go again, talking about reparations. Well, listen to me, nigger, you ain't getting nothing from me. There ain't a slave still living today. So tell me, why do you think we should pay for what we didn't do and what didn't happen to you? We can always go back home where the monkeys and the baboons roam. And if you ain't satisfied, that's exactly what you ought to do. Hey, there you go again, talking about reparations. There you go again, talking about something else free. There you go again, talking about reparations. Well, listen to me, nigger, you ain't getting nothing from me. We don't owe you a damn thing. Man, you gotta be out of your mind. So take your reparations and stick them where the sun don't shine. Hey, there you go again, talking about reparations. There you go again, talking about something else free. And there you go again, talking about reparations. Well, listen to me, nigger, you ain't getting nothing from me. We don't owe you a damn thing. Hey, you gotta be out of your mind. So take your reparations and stick them where the sun don't shine. Hey, there you go again, talking about reparations. There you go again, talking about something else free. There you go again, talking about reparations. Well, listen to me, nigger, you ain't getting nothing from me. I said, listen to me, nigger, you ain't getting nothing from me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Wow, wow, wow. By the way, if you like what I'm doing, maybe you would think of giving a donation, especially if you haven't before. It would be appreciated. You just go to DavidJamesBoston.com. And there's a donation link. Please do so. So, I've moved to page 402, subchapter 5, Pope John the 23rd. A humble beginning. This is from Fritz Springmeier's book. We're on page 402. On a damp, rainy day in Soto il Monte, Italy, Signora Maria Anna Mazzola Roncalli gave birth to a healthy baby. The cross mountain wind that the people call Tramontano was slamming through the town, rattling wooden shutters and forcing rain into the damp houses. It was November 25th, 1881, and due to the high rate of infant mortality, the family followed the church's instruction and went that very same day to the parish church of San Giovanni to have the infant baptized, Giuseppe Angelo Roncalli. Later his names were reversed, and later this child, as a 77-year-old man, would be known as Pope John the 23rd. That name, Pope John the 23rd, is pregnant with meaning. Yes, I'll say one thing about 23. There are 23 chromosomes. There's 46 altogether, and 23 is significant. This name that he selected has been anathematized because an anti-pope, an imposter, up to 1415 had used it. Since then, nobody dared use it. The name John is very important to the Masons, for the patron saint of the Freemasons is Saint John. Further, a document placed in the National Library in Paris, France, prior to 1956, indicates that a man called John the 23rd, Jean Cocteau, was the Grand Master of the Prayer de Zion, a secret order entrusted with the bloodline of the House of David. There was considerable consternation when Roncalli chose the name John the 23rd, considering that the anti-pope, who had that same name, was well known only for seducing 200 women, including his own sister-in-law, Spearman Neville, the Broken Cross, Piers Compton, 1983. I think I have that book somewhere, The Broken Cross. Early years, due to Masons in the Italian government, Italy entered World War I on the side of the Allies fighting the Central Powers. One of Roncalli's first assignments in World War I was with a medical unit at Bergamo. While there in March 1916, all the priests in the Italian army were made chaplains and given the rank of lieutenant. Roncalli was both a nurse and priest to the shattered bodies that came back from the front. After the defeat at Caporetto, masses of horribly wounded men overflowed the entire city, and Roncalli worked night and day giving last rites and comforts to the dying boys. Later in the spring of... You see the genocide going on? You wonder why two-thirds of our people have been destroyed? With the child ritual murder sacrifice going on all the time, all the way through, you wonder why we've been reduced? It really is remarkable. I'm serious. It's just crazy. So, later in the spring of 1917, he served at the front, moving through the mud and rain among the troops in a cassock stained with blood. Later in life, Roncalli would look back and say, "I thank God that I was a sergeant and a military chaplain in World War I. How much I learned..." Didn't he just say they were lieutenants? Who knows? "How much I learned of the human heart." So there's that word again. "At the time, how much experience I gained, how great the grace I received. It is hard to fault him for wanting peace and peace at any price. A letter to his brother, Saverio, written from Constantinople, 28th April 1938, reflects his desire for peace. "For our own part, let us try to keep the peace with everyone, speaking against no one and staying out of politics." Exactly what he meant by staying out of politics is hard to grasp, because he himself was used to the words of his biographer. As the bishop's secretary, Roncalli was in the thick of the socio-ecclesiastical politics, which eventually led to the founding of the Italian Christian Democratic Party. But he did try to keep peace with the Jews. As Pope, he removed words in the Good Friday liturgy that the Jews disliked, and then, speaking to the Jews on various occasions, called himself a brother to the Jews. He bowed his knee to Baal and Baal's offspring. Papal Nuncio and the Rose Croix. Another impact on his life when he went to Turkey in 1935 as a papal nuncio. One book indicates that while in Turkey, he became part of the Rose Croix, the Rosicrucians, the Red Cross. Get it? The Red Cross? Or the Rose Cross? If true, his move after the war to represent the Vatican at Paris, France, takes on added significance. Paris is a nerve center for occultic secret societies, including the Masons and especially the Rosicrucians. Interestingly, from 1952 onwards, the permanent observer for the Holy See at UNESCO was Roncalli. UNESCO was, as in shown later, a Masonic invention designed to promote the New Age religion. So you get it? The UNESCO was, as in shown later, a Masonic invention designed to promote the New Age religion. During the Second World War, during the occupation of Greece by Italy, Roncalli felt that the Italian occupation was kind and beneficial to Greece. Writing to his sister from Athens, 14 June 1943, he states that Freemasonry was causing a bad division between Greece and Italy. We see how Greece, which is Orthodox, and because it is dominated by Freemasonry, hostile to anything which might draw it nearer to Italy, not because of national interests, but because Italy holds the center of Catholicism. Oh, Sister Maria, how I dislike politics and nationalism. It is a real curse for the nation when religion serves as its tool. In spite of his letters expressing disdain for politics, Roncalli was best known for his success in dealing with the Orthodox Church's prelates and the Muslim Turkish government. While he served as a cardinal representing the Vatican in France, across Europe the CIA was making payments to the Masonic lodges to rebuild them. Did you hear that? Across Europe, the CIA was making payments to the Masonic lodges to rebuild them. The CIA was also making large payments to the Catholic Church. The former CIA agent Victor Marchetti stated, "In the 1950s and 60s, the CIA gave economic support to many activities promoted by the Catholic Church. From orphanages to the missions, millions of dollars each year were given to a great number of bishops and monsignors. One of them was a cardinal, Giovanni Battista Montini. It is possible that Cardinal Montini did not know where the money was coming from. He may have thought it was coming from friends. Cardinal Montini became Pope Paul VI. He was also at some point a Freemason and an OSS agent, the Office of Strategic Services, which was a precursor. Even prior to Roncalli becoming Pope John the 23rd, Freemasonry had some powerful men in the Vatican. For instance, Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio, his Masonic name Seba, in Lodge 85, 2640, was raised into a regular Masonic lodge on August 14, 1957. Various sources also indicate that the Vatican's foreign minister, at times called the Kissinger of the Vatican, Archbishop Monsignor Agostino Casaroli, was initiated into the regular Masonic Lodge on September 28, 1957. This author has studied Pope John 23 to try to understand who he was and what made him tick, how sold out he was to secret societies and their ambitions. That's a question. There are mixed clues. At this point, this author has the opinion that Pope John the 23 was guided more by a sincere belief than he was helping promote world peace than any sinister motivation or evil agenda. But if this pope can be said to have had good intentions, some of his close associates at the Vatican don't appear at all so. Vatican II. Constance Cumby, in her book The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, page 160, says, "If there has been a single Catholic pope who has permitted the New Ager's plan to take root within the Roman Catholic Church, it was Pope John the 23rd, who was spoken of reverently by the New Ager's and Catholic modernists. Vatican II was a hallmark of toleration. It is an edict right in line with Masonic doctrine. For instance, it pronounced salvation to anyone who is good at whatever he is pursuing. Pope John 23, who was on record for labor groups," get that, you know what labor groups are, communist groups, right? That's what we're just learning, right? "Not only allowed Catholics to become Masons, but ended the church's anti-communist stance." Did you hear that? When I told you the Catholic Church is communist, there you go. There you go. Pope John 23 threw his whole weight into getting Vatican II passed. Some claim to overwork in doing this speeded up his death. The overwork sped up his death. In addressing the Vatican II Council prior to its successfully passing Vatican II, John 23rd told them, "Illuminated by the light of this council, the Church, we confidently trust, will become greater in spiritual riches, gaining the strength of new energies from it. Unfortunately, the entire Christian family has not yet fully attained unity in truth. The Catholic Church, therefore, considers it her duty to work actively toward the fulfillment of the great mystery of the unity which Jesus invoked with fervent prayer from his heavenly Father on the eve of his sacrifice." Now, let me just stop right there. Illumined by the light. Now, that kind of jargon right there, you ought to tell you something. Of this council, the Church, we confidently trust. See, they trust the Church. They don't trust the Father or Jesus Christ. They trust the Church, the organization, the institution. This is what I've been telling people. Please stop worshiping men and institutions and worship the only one that is worthy of worship, the Heavenly Father, Yahweh himself. The Church exults greatly at seeing that invocation extended. Even among those who are outside her fold, venerable brothers, such is the aim of the Second Vatican Council, which, bringing together the Church's best energies, prepares and consolidates the path toward that unity of mankind. It doesn't say humanity. Which is required as a necessary foundation in order that the earthly city may be brought to resemble that heavenly city where truth reigns. Charity is the law and whose extent is eternity. There he said it. The goal of Vatican II is the unity of mankind to create an earthly millennium. The key commission group of Vatican II was the Secretariat of Christian Unity, headed by Cardinal B. Cardinal B was a Grand Master of Freemasonry and was also a Jesuit and a Jew. Did you hear that now? Did you hear that now, ladies and gentlemen? Let me hit you with it again. The key commission group of Vatican II was the Secretariat of Christianity Unity, headed by Cardinal B. B.E.A. Cardinal B. was a Grand Master of the Freemasons and was also a Jesuit and a Jew. His original name was Behar, B.E.H.A.R. During Vatican II meetings, he flew back and forth from the Vatican to New York, thought to be those of the One World Power, to brief these others on what was happening. The Second Vatican Council was announced in January 1959, opened in October 1962, and concluded in December 1965. This author has the entire Vatican II in his library. It is appropriate to clarify that Vatican II does not tamper with the ultimate authority of the Catholic Church, but leaves it intact. Authority in the Catholic Church is not the Protestant, sola scriptura, but ultimately rests with the Church, which then states that Scripture and tradition is. Scripture with the tradition, or Scripture with tradition, then is their authority for dogma. Now, tradition of men and the Scriptures of Church, Judeo-Christianity, Talmudic Christianity, see? It's just insane. It really is insane. Scripture with tradition then is their authority for dogma. Christ, the Word of God, still speaks. The Church believes in the priestly and papal offices. They believe in the priestly and papal offices, not in Jesus Christ. See? So that they claim infallibility for Christ's Church. See the Catholic Church's decree on the Church. The hierarchy and its power were left untouched, and we will learn more about what that hierarchy is today as we continue to read. In April 1963, Pope John XXIII moved the Roman Catholic Church closer toward a synthesis with communism with the document of Pacem in Terris, which promoted compromises with communism. Let me stop right there. What did I just tell you? What did I just tell you about evil? Communism is evil. These people are making agreements with evil. Like if you can make a pact with evil and something good would come out of it. You see, this is the devil's church, one of the devil's churches, always has been. So of course it has the propensity towards making pacts with other ideologies of the devil and his children. You see, it's just clear as a bell. I hope the Catholics that listen to me are making and taking notes of these things. So further, he neutralized the conservatives by adding 12 new cardinals who favored his views. Catholic groups to examine. The student of the Jew World Order will want to keep track of the following secret societies that involve the Catholic Church. The Order of the Knights of Malta. Connected to the Black Nobility, this group connects with the Vatican, CIA, the Mafia, the Prière de Zion, and many of the governments of Latin America. According to one Masonic source, this group is also connected to Freemasonry. Of course it is. Opus Dei, a fraternal organization, in some ways secret, started in 1922, which is amassing increasing power with the Catholic Church. This movement is tied to the French Masonic Grand Orient. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. This fraternal society has long had connections with Illumination and has been the cutting edge of the Church's strength. They nominally owe allegiance to the Pope, but are practically a power unto themselves. The Pope, and you know it's all Jews, almost all Jews. The Pope has the power to try to replace the Master General with his own selection like he did with Arupe. But doing that is no assurance of Jesuit compliance. German Novalis said, "This society will be an example of every society which feels an organic longing for the infinite extension and eternal duration." Ignatius said, "The more universal your work, the more divine it becomes." Did you hear that? The more universal your work, the more divine it becomes. Now that's a lie. Usual training period for a Jesuit is 17 years. Other secret societies, the Knights of Columbus, a fraternal organization for Catholics modeled after Freemasonry. Also, the reader should be aware of the following church systems because they play a role in the Jewilluminati's power structure. Old Catholic Church. This branch is more occultic than the regular Catholic Church. One of its rites is the English Rite. Became the liberal Catholic Church. The liberal Catholic Church, their Christ is Maitreya. Are you listening, Catholics? And they follow, see, Maitreya is the Christ that is to come, not Jesus Christ. The one that Benjamin Krem and Alice Bailey and all of them talk about, Maitreya. It's the devil. The liberal Catholic Church, their Christ is Maitreya, and they follow the Great White Brotherhood. Remember Annie Besant and all those from Theosophy, right? The Jew, Madame Blavatsky. They have a pagan trinity and practice like a cult, or they practice the occult, started by a Freemason, not directly under the Catholic system. Security around Pope John XXIII. The Pope dismissed the colorful ceremonial Swiss guard from their duty of keeping a nightly vigil outside of his papal apartment. At the same time, overall security around the Pope was beefed up tremendously. Some say these extraordinary measures were to protect the investment secret societies had in the Pope. Yeah, this seat makes a lot of noise, boy. Subchapter 6, Paul the Sixth. Under Paul the Sixth, the Catholic Church continued down the road toward the new Jew world order. Some of the noteworthy developments include liberation theology was embraced by the church, which is communism, and supporting communist rebels. The Catholic Knights of Columbus and the Masons began working together. The Catholic Church set up Masonic fronts. An outlawed Masonic lodge system developed called P2. You've heard of the P2 Lodge with Mazzini. The mafia came through the P2 Lodge in Italy. So, right here it talks about liberation theology, which I've been wanting to get to. Let's see, maybe this will take care of that. Liberation theology. The Pope was never officially blessed, or he has never blessed liberation theology, and has at times not been publicly pleased with it. In a fashion reminiscent of Charles Taze Russell's Parts of the Catholic Church, Jesuits, Dominicans, Paulist fathers, get it? etc., began to promote what is actually Judaism as a type of Christian theology called liberation theology. Ladies and gentlemen, did you just hear that? Would you like me to read that part for you again? Parts of the Catholic Church, the Jesuits, Dominicans, Paulist fathers, etc., listen, began to promote what is actually Judaism as a type of Christian theology called liberation theology. Liberation theology follows Jewish thought in several ways. It is revolutionary and socialist, which are definitely Jewish. It speaks only about Christ's humanity, and it strives for a socialist Jew order. Yes, socialist new order, which is also called the Kingdom of God or the Millennium. Catholics are being promised the Golden Age of Christianity. Where have we heard this before? You know where. Charles Taze Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Church Universal Triumphant, etc., etc., right? Quoting from a book on liberation theology by one of its espousers entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven, Jews, Christians, and Liberation Theology, it says this: Christian-Jewish dialogue has thus ceased to be the impossibility it once was. Combining theory and practice, this movement attempts to use the insights of Marxist social criticism to forge a new vision of the Christian message. Most importantly for Jewish-Christian encounter, liberation theologians have gone back to their Jewish roots in the older part of the Testament. Suddenly, Jewish and Christian writers find themselves using the same vocabulary and motifs. Let me stop right there. Socialist Christians. Remember? From the Red Network? Are you connecting the dots, ladies and gentlemen? Here's a quote here. The writings of the theologians, liberation theology, express a common conviction that the rights of the poor, listen, must be upheld in a quest for the liberation of the oppressed. Thus, the kingdom of God, contrary to what many Christians believe, does not signify something that is outside of this world. Oh, each individual must make an effort to bring about a new order. A mission based on Jesus' actions and teachings, as recorded in the Gospels. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you're understanding and hearing what I just read to you. You see, this liberation theology is mixing Judaism and Christianity, which is the same thing as Judeo-Christianity. And no wonder that Judeo-Christianity espouses and supports liberation theology. In other words, supports its own destruction and supports the enemies of the heavenly realm and our race and our countries and the Father. All the enemies are supported by the Christians through things like this. Through the Federal Council of Church, the Communist Council of Churches, you get it? And the National Council of Churches, Rockefeller, crypto Jew. This author's reaction to liberation theology is to be amazed at how sheep-like even theologians are. The people of the Jew order make it fashionable to believe in liberation theology, a Christianized Judaism. And all the sheep just follow along. Even the Catholics are forgetting tradition and going with the fads. Further, we read under the chapter Common Ground and Shared Concerns, under the section A Marxist Perspective, we are told that Marxism allows the Jews and Christians to have common ground. Let me remind you of something. The Marxists themselves say that religion and communism are not compatible. God and communism is not compatible. Then how could Marxism and Christianity be compatible? It can't. See, people just, we've fallen for so many lies, it's just incredible. It's again the mixing of things that don't mix together, that are juxtaposed to one another, that cannot emulsify. Marxism allows the Jews and Christians to have common ground. Well, it does not. This shared vision can serve as a bridge between the two traditions. Liberation theology's return to traditional Jewish ideals should make it possible for both faiths to work together for the first time in areas of social concern. Social concern. As we have seen in their analysis of society, in trying to understand conflict, liberation theologians frequently utilize the insights of Marxism. For liberation theologians, Marxism is essentially an instrument of social analysis. Did you hear that? Marxism is essentially an instrument of social analysis. Kike book. Twitter for twits. So the dialectic synthesis of Judaism and Christianity is Marxism. Does the reader see how they attempt to control both sides of an issue to control the synthesis? Back then, Australian Carmelite Patrick J. Gearon said, quote, "Efforts are being made today to replace the Church of St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, with a new church, the Church of Humanism and Evolution." Remember humans' rights? Let me just quickly, I'm going to just mark this right here because I think I'm going to go look up humanism. And of course, we're on page 407. So let's just quickly look up this religion called humanism. Okay, humanism. Please pay attention. An outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Isn't that what the human rights movement is about? And it's all directed towards human on top of all of it. While they're tricking the whole, all of the peoples of the earth thinking that they're all human, they're not. The white people are not human. We are man. And especially in supernatural matters or matters of the Father in heaven, should I say. So listen again. An outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems, not man's problems, not mankind's problems, but human, colored man. Because why? Why is that, Dave? Why? How do you know I'm telling you the truth? Because the devil does not want to rule a world called the human race that includes white man. He wants to get rid of white man so he can go back to the human race. The colored man. He wants to rule over the colored man because the colored man can be ruled over. Understood? I hope you are understanding it. A Renaissance cultural movement which turned away from medieval scholasticism and revived interest in ancient Greek and Roman thought. Humanism. Let's see what else. What does a humanist believe in, it says? Humanists believe that human experience and rational thinking provide the only source of both knowledge and a moral code to live by. They reject the idea of knowledge revealed to human beings by gods or in special books like the Bible. You see now what that means. You should be able to figure this out very quickly. We should understand that man is to be God. Now, you have to understand that Whitey doesn't know that he's not human. Whitey thinks he's fighting for human rights. Especially white women, too. They very into fighting for anybody else's. You know, there are women out there right now shaving their heads bald to be in league and to show their support for blacks, humans, you see. It's funny how none of them have ever shaved their head in solidarity with their own race. Isn't that interesting? They're more interested in anybody else's rights than their own race and their own people and their own children and their own God and their own country, etc., etc. They're into human rights, colored man's rights, right? Welcome, refugees. Welcome, refugees. Welcome, refugees, says the white women of many countries. We all recognize human rights. We're all bending our knees to human and to the Baal, say the white women of the world. Now, of course, I'm not speaking of all of our women. Please don't get upset. You know what I'm talking about. You've been seeing what's going on. And don't, whitey men are doing the same thing. Making complete fools out of themselves. Degradating themselves. And showing that they are not worthy of being part of the white race. That they actually want to be the beast of the field. They want to be human. Does that make sense to you? Is humanism a religion, it says? Self-described religious humanists differ from secular humanists, mainly in that they regard the humanist life stance as their religion and organize using a congregational model. Religious humanism is a classic example of non-theistic religion. Who was a famous humanist? Listen, we just found out they were also communism. This first idiot was, there were most of them are Jews here. Hold on, just listen, ready? Famous humanists include scientist Albert Einstein. We just talked about him. He's a communist and a humanist. Feminist Gloria Steinem, another Jew. Author Margaret Atwood. And philosopher Bertrand Russell. Humanists trace their roots to the rational philosophy first created in the West in ancient Greece. Many regard Socrates as the first and greatest of the humanists. Humanists. See, just because somebody calls themselves a humanist and they're white, which, of course, Einstein and Gloria Steinem, I don't even know if Socrates is really white, to be honest with you. But just because they call themselves humanists, and if they should appear as white people, all they're saying is I'm for the dark side. I'm bending my knee to Baal. I'm part of the human race. I don't want to be part of mankind. Like you see whites saying, I'm ashamed of being white. In other words, they're human now. They've degraded themselves down to being in league, in stance, and in solidarity with humanity, colored man. The Jews are part of the human race. They're not white people. Even if they're mixed with white and look white, they're still mixed with human. So they're not white. They'll tell you that themselves. The only times they say they're white is when they want to help cause some problems with the white race and other races. Or if they pretend to be white supremacists and things like that just to cause problems. But they know they're not white and they wish they were white. All of humanity wishes they were white. They think if they can destroy white people, that'll make them forget about being white because they can never be white. But that won't solve their problem because humanity is a wasteland. Humanity is a gross misjudgment, a terrible, terrible thing, full of street poopers and beasts of the field that just poop anywhere they want to poop like an animal does. Have you ever watched a dog or a bird? They just poop anywhere at any time and then walk away. Well, that's exactly what these beasts of the field do from humanity. You see? So make no mistake, we whites are not human. We're man. And woman. And see that you keep it that way. Unless you want to be equal to the beast of the field. See, if you want to make yourself equal with blacks, then you will become a human because you will lower yourself and degrade yourself to being like the beast of the field and acting, living, and everything else, mixing with beasts of the field. Now you've become a human. And you're part of the human race. It's funny, these revelations just make so much sense to me. I never thought of this before, but it just blows my mind. You see how in the writings we've been finding that they'll use the word humanity or human, and then they'll use the word mankind, like as if they're confused. Like as if there was no difference between mankind and humankind. But there is. And it's not a good difference. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself not human.